Hi, everyone. Welcome today to the Emotionally Healthy Leader Podcast. So good to be with you. Very excited about today's theme, which is five relationships every leader needs to flourish. Five relationships every leader needs to flourish. So last week, two weeks ago in the podcast, I talked about the loneliness of leadership. And I ended that podcast by talking about one of the biblical ways to address the loneliness of leadership is to get into some great relationships in that process. And so that's such a large topic that it needed today's podcast to really unpack. So again, five relationships that every leader needs to flourish. So there's two big errors that leaders make in general. The first is that we just go it alone. We don't get these key relationships in place and we suffer for it. So Proverbs, written by the wisest person in the world who's ever lived, talks about to make right decisions, we need wise counsel in the process. So we have Proverbs, things like, you know, a wise man listens to advice, or plans fail for lack of counsel, Proverbs 15:22, or make plans by seeking advice, the wise man in Proverbs says, or Proverbs 28, he who trusts in himself or herself is a fool. And in fact, 75% of the messes people get themselves in is because they did not invite others into their process. So we underestimate what it means to lead in the name of Jesus, what it means to influence other people for him, especially we're pastoring, we're leading in a church or a ministry or parachurch, and we're responding to Jesus who says, do you love me? We say, yes, feed my sheep. And there's nothing more important, I believe, on the face of the earth than those of us who are leading communities, leading churches. We're shaping places where people can not just meet God, but form communities and thus be salt and a light into the earth and advance the mission of Jesus. I mean, there's nothing more important than folks who are leading churches and ministries around the world. And so we need so much wise counsel. We need so many relationships to support us to be able to do this well long term, not just as a meteor or a sprint, but as a marathon over 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years by the grace of God. Listen, you're worth it. There is nothing more important for your ministry than for you to invest the time and energy to have these kinds of five great relationships in your life as a support system. Now, again, this going it alone is arrogant. It's foolish. It's proud. I know I did it so much of my own life. I didn't get much mentoring or have so many great relationships growing up or in my early years. And I'm reminded of this great story in John Cassian in the 5th century, who wrote about a man named Hero who spent all this time in the desert alone, actually 50 years, as a hermit. But he didn't want to talk to other people. He didn't want to even gather on weekends for worship and communion. He just refused to participate with other people, lest he give the impression that he needed something, you know. And so one day he discerned God was telling him to jump into a deep well, and that if he went in this deep well, angels would catch him. Well, the angel didn't save him. He fell to the bottom of that well. He was half dead. And then his fellow monks pulled him out, trying to convince him that it was not the voice of God you heard to jump into that well. But he wouldn't even listen. It was useless. Even as he lay dying, they could not convince him that he did not hear the voice of God in jumping into that well. And it says this, John Cassian writes this, again, in the 400s, he goes, he went along so stubbornly with his own deception that he could not be persuaded even when faced with death. He had so deluded himself by the cleverness of demons. So interesting, isn't it? His pride was just too great. So that's one extreme, I think, errors we make in leadership. We just say, I'll just go it alone. I can figure it out. But the second big error is we get foolish counsel from people, often because we're in some wrong relationships. And the best example, and I encourage you to do a study on this someday, is found in 1 Kings 12. It's after Solomon has died and his son Rehoboam takes over. And Rehoboam's got to make some big decisions on how he's going to lead. And he's at a critical moment. And so he goes to the elders who have been around a long time, have seen the ups and downs, the failures, that they're seasoned. And they've got the perspective of many years. And the kingdom's in all this turmoil. And they say to him, basically, if you will be a servant to the people, you know, things will go well. You know, don't be like your father Solomon. But he ignores them and he goes to his young friends who don't have any experience, but they're his friends he grew up with. And they basically said, hey, listen, you better be tough, be a leader, show the people of Israel who you really are. He takes their counsel and the kingdom splits in two. It's a disaster. And so some of us, we just get the wrong advice from the wrong people. It reminds me of when Jerry and I were engaged and we went for premarital counseling. And the counselor said, hey, and this fellow was a teacher of marriage and family. And he said, ah, you two love Jesus. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be great. It was such poor counsel we got. It could have been a disaster. It's dangerous to get wrong counsel. So we're going to launch into what are the five relations we each need. But I have to lay a little foundation first, because there's two foundations we have to understand before we go into this theme of what are the five relationships. The first is that you're listening to God, first of all, from inside of you. God, the Holy Spirit's inside of you, is the Holy Spirit's going to lead you into all truth. He's a good shepherd. He guides his sheep. And so we don't give away our power to other people in relationships. You've got a unique destiny. God's got a dream for your life. Your calling and vocation is to discern what is that dream God has for me to execute on earth in my short earthly life, and then offer it back to God as a love offering to him. But it's a delicate balance of we're connected to other people getting counsel, but yet we're separate and we have our own walk with God. So it's both, I'm connected in these relationships, but I'm also connected to God and I've got my personal responsibility before the Lord, and I'll stand before God alone in what I've done with my life. So that's the first foundation, that you don't give away your power. You're listening for God for yourself and others are contributing to that process. But the second key foundation is that to do this, what we're talking about today, and it's so important, is that it requires what Proverbs refers to as initiative, that we don't be sluggards or lazy folks. In other words, it requires a lot of time and energy to get this support network in place. Now, there's a lot in Proverbs about being a sluggard. So I'm going to read you one text from Proverbs 6. It says this, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise." Think of a little anthill. "It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep?" I meet many leaders, and I was one of them, that say to me, "Pete, I don't have any wise people to go to. I don't have this network out there that you're going to talk about. Life's happening to me. I'm all alone. I'm living in this particular place. I don't have money or resources. I'm overwhelmed." And so many of us, we're not sluggards in all of life, but when it comes to this area of getting these relationships in order, putting the time and energy into it, we can be sluggards, and we forget the principle of delayed gratification, which ants understand that. They're storing provisions in summer. They know winter's coming. And in other words, delayed gratification is, I'll take the pain now so I can have it better later. And we do that, for example, think of people who are musicians or great athletes. They understand delayed gratification. Anything that has significant in life requires understanding that. And so think of exercise. You know, if you want to, you exercise, it could be painful, but you know you'll feel better down the road, et cetera. Financial planning, it's hard to do, right? Savings, not going deep in debt. But I do that so that later I'm going to be in a better place. Same thing with going to school. Why go to school? Well, it's delayed gratification. I'm going to take this pain now and for later, for what's going to come. Same thing with, why do we invest in daily morning prayer, midday prayer, evening prayer? Because we're investing. We're not sluggards. We're being before God. We're building a deep secret history with him. And the same thing with relationships. I think of succession, I tend to take a lot of initiative to do succession because I know I couldn't get this wrong. And it took me a lot of work. So where can I find some relationships that can help me around succession? Mentors, consultants, etc., friends I knew. In fact, I had one guy who says, I charge $400 an hour. I actually hired this guy for some hours. He goes, but you understand that my counsel to you at $400 an hour is going to save you tens of thousands of dollars down the road. And I was like, I got it later. I understood what he was talking about. So let's go. Let's jump in. What are the five relationships that every leader needs to flourish? All right. The first is this. We all need a social universe outside your work. The first is you need a social universe or social world outside of your work. Now, there's a great book I recommend you pick up. It's called The Good Life, Lessons from the World's Longest Scientific Study of Happiness. It's written by Waldinger and Schultz. And basically, it comes out of an 80-90-year-old study. And they basically discovered this about the good life. People who are more connected to family, friends, and community are happier and more physically healthy than people who are less connected. In other words, social fitness is as important as physical fitness. And so they had this nice little exercise in this book, which I did in my journal when I first read it. It was so helpful. And they said, you know, look at your social universe, your social world outside of your work, and do an x-ray of your social universe. And so they break it up into categories like safety and security. Who are people you run to in a moment of crisis? You make a list of those people. Then who are those that when you're with them, when you're feeling low, you're able to feel emotionally close and connected? Who are the folks you go to for identity affirmation, or you have shared experiences? In other words, you can't make old friends. These are people you've had a lot of history with. Who are folks you go to for help, whether it's practical or more information? Who do you turn to for help when you want to solve a problem? It could be something simple around your house. Then they have a category of romantic intimacy. Then they've got another category of learning and growth. Who encourages you to grow? And then finally, they have one on fun and relaxation. Who makes you laugh? Who puts you at ease? And it was a really nice exercise for me to write all the people in different categories there. Now, I could have done better at this, especially in the 26 years I was lead pastor of our church. I was so busy building healthy community at our church. Jerry and I worked at it. I could have done it better because I was so intense at building our community. And so you want to first get a set of social relationships outside of work, beyond work, because you're not going to be a pastor. You're not going to be a leader of your ministry or organization forever. And you want to be thinking about long-term relationships and building that social network outside work in your life. That's number one. And these are in order. The second set of relationships you need is you need mentors. You need mentors. Again, it's thinking long-term. Now, think of a scale of 1 to 10. And, you know, 10 would be like intense mentors. 1 and 2, 3 would be kind of like less intense mentors. So, for example, I got a lot of mentors in my life in short-term areas. So, for example, I got a mentor, you know, 30 years ago on how do you do savings, investing? How do I save for retirement? And I got a financial mentor that over the years have been really helpful to me and his firm of how to manage and steward our personal family finances. I had a mentor in how to manage church finances because I didn't have an MBA background. I was an English major. I've had a mentor in social media. I've had a mentor who taught me podcasts and Twitter and Instagram and all that over the years and has kept me up to speed currently on how to communicate. My adult daughters serve as mentors to me in many areas of my life I'm not even asking them about. But I really want to focus on here the mentors related to a scale of leadership that you're in as a leader. And again, I've led a church for 26 years. Now I've been leading emotionally healthy discipleship. I'm in my 12th year as a parachurch global organization. Now, I've had mentors who were not helpful. Let me just say that. Who basically even fed the wrong parts of me. They fed my disordered attachments. I think of my early days of church planting and advice that I took that was so unwise, but I just took it because I didn't know anything. I'm like, well, they've been, quote, successful, apparently. And I went to a number of people that was not helpful in the beginning and ended up being a real mess. I think of all the early conferences I went to early in my journey of pastoring and leading, and I've got a list of all these names here. Not helpful. I remember, you know, again, one pastor saying to me, Pete, you want to grow your church as big as possible so that when you walk in a room, it's like the Red Sea parts. Everyone's, oh, you're here. Or another person saying to me, Pete, get out of Queens, go to Manhattan. You want to be near the corridors of power in New York City. And I realized I was getting counsel from people who were still working under the old world system, and they really weren't grasping the inbreaking kingdom of God of Jesus and how Jesus overturns earthly categories of honor and status and power and wealth. And they didn't have a transformed sense of how this Jesus kingdom works. And I was buying into it, and it was feeding the wrong parts of me. And so you want to be choosing the right people as mentors. Those who have nothing to lose by telling you the truth, of course. I love Proverbs 27:6, which says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. In other words, they have no self-interest in mentoring you and counseling you. And they're ahead of you. They're someone, you can look at them and say, they're somewhere, I want to be where they are in 10 years. And our tendency, however, is we're asking people to mentor us who often are no further ahead than we are. And so my most helpful mentors, the good mentors who I've had, have served me not just in activity externally, which I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, but they've helped me with my inner world. They were wise. They said often difficult things to me that hurt. Again, wounds from a friend can be trusted. They have historical perspective. They've been around longer than me. They've been through battles. They've been through their own failures. They can say, you're chasing after the wrong things, Pete. I remember one person I went to as a mentor during my first succession at New Life Fellowship Church. And again, imagine 26 years of investment. I had a few mentors in that. I had like actually three mentors and a therapist working with me at that point around succession. And I never forget, he said to me, Pete, you need to be under the new lead pastor. You got to be really clear about how you're exercising power. You are really releasing power. So a number of hard things were said there. It was so, so helpful. So I want to invite you at EH Discipleship, Emotionally Discipleship, we're not just producing quality curriculums and books and materials for you. We are seeking to provide some mentoring for you on different levels. And so we've developed over the last 4 to 5 years something called the School of Emotionally Healthy Leadership for Pastors and Leaders. And it has a mentoring component to it. And now we are about to expand it. We've been running it here in the East Coast of the United States, 2 semesters each year. And we've been running satellites in Australia, New Zealand, as well as Europe and the UK, as well as Latin America. But now we're expanding it to some other offerings that we can actually open it up a bit more. So I want to invite you to check that out and look for a semester when it's happening, perhaps near you or a time that works for you. Go to emotionallyhealthy.org/leadership school. That's emotionallyhealthy.org/leadership school. Look at the syllabus and consider prayerfully registering for the next semester. Again, it's an opportunity for you to get some mentoring in your life and some wise counsel as you navigate the complexity of leadership for Jesus. All right, so you've got creating a social universe outside your work is number one. Number two is getting some key mentors at every stage of your journey. And then thirdly is therapists and or spiritual directors. Both have been significant for me at key moments in my history of leading. And the key has been, what season am I in and what do I need right now? Now, I've been doing both seasons of therapy and spiritual direction over the last 30 years and has served me so well. And I think, again, they're dealing with my inner life. And I think I just made a list here of a few folks who so helped unlock things for me. I think of one particular therapist who really helped me unlock, why was I always rushing? What was that roots in my history that kept getting me into this driven, busy life? And why was I not doing the executive functioning of leadership? I was very crippled in that area. I was good at vision and teaching, but didn't want to do the actual executive leadership functions of a ministry. And that really went back to my family of origin, not so much my skill set, and really helped me unlock it. Changed my whole life. The Emotionally Healthy Leader book that I wrote came out of all that because it changed my whole way I lead. I think of another wise therapists that really helped Sherry and I with how to connect emotionally. I didn't know how to connect emotionally to my own wife, let alone my team and our church. So I learned about attachment, how to be married, how to do emotional connection. I mean, it was tremendous service to me. And again, I think of another mentor who really served me with the area of, or another therapist who really helped me grow in differentiation. Now you can read about it in some of our books and other places. But differentiation, to get in deep with a therapist was so helpful to me. And how do I separate from the mass of pressure around me and be my unique person that God's inviting me to be while remaining connected to other people? Again, I think of the gift and service I received from therapists in that. I think of Kierkegaard's statement, Søren Kierkegaard, the great Danish philosopher who wrote this, everyone that needs numbers to feel significant is by that very fact insignificant. Think about that. Everything that needs numbers in order to become significant is by that very fact insignificant. Whoa, what's the root of that? That's the kind of stuff I had to get at therapy. And then spiritual directors I've had on and off for all these 30 years too. Again, a spiritual director is different. Their goal is to help you listen to God inside of you. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you and how's he directing you? And so they're trained, hopefully they've been trained. And actually right now I'm actually in spiritual direction. Again, I'm going through the 19th annotation, the Ignatian exercises for my second time. In fact, if I had, again, creating a seminary, training pastors and leaders for the church for the 21st century, I would require everyone does a novitiate, has a spiritual director over a year to 2 year period, just like the Jesuits do, just like all monasteries do for monks, because it's such a heavy way to be leading a community in the name of Jesus. And again, I think of a spiritual director I had who said to me, okay, go spend a half a day alone with God and just your Bible and a journal. And he goes, and after talking to him, he says, I want to encourage you, take Matthew 11:28-30, you know, which Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. You know, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he said, Pete, what is that easy, light burden for you? And I think it was a day alone with God, actually, not a half a day. I just remember that half day changed my life. And I got this clear image. I was like a oxen weighed down with heavy yoke. And I just heard God speak to me so clearly that Jesus saying to me, Pete, if the yoke is heavy and the yoke is hard and it's cutting into your skin and you're bleeding, you can know one thing, it's not my yoke, because my yoke fits you perfectly. It's easy and it's light, even if you're suffering in the midst of it. So I began to learn things about, for example, from spiritual directors, like the grace of a new beginning, that as God, something ends and new beginnings emerge, it's a grace God's offering there with a new door. Or I remember hearing the words, let Jesus just love you. Oh, let Jesus love you. My goodness. So again, I've had some bad therapists. I've had some inexperienced spiritual directors. Absolutely. But like anything else, it takes initiative. It takes work to locate and find and discern good ones for you and the season of life in which you find yourself. So number four, fourth relationship every leader needs to flourish is coaches. Coaches. Now, coaches is someone who meets with you one-on-one, who's been trained as well. And their commitment is to help you reach your goals, to stay on track. Maybe something like balancing your inner and outer life. It may be having a social universe that outside of your work that works, keeping yourself on track. And I've had a couple, few over the years. I actually have one right now because I'm in succession for emotional discipleship over the next couple of years. A lot of moving parts right now. And I have a friend who's a coach as well. And so I've contracted him for a year. We meet once a month and kind of keep me on track with my goals. And it's just helpful. And I found it to be helpful when there's lots of moving parts. But I want to be clear that the first three sets of relationships I talked about, well, the first one is a social universe outside of your work. But number two and three, mentors and spiritual directors and or spiritual directors and or therapists, those two are dealing with your inner world. Very important. Coaches and number five, which is going to be strategic consultants, they're dealing primarily with your outer world. They're not getting very much deeply into your inner world, into transformation on that level. But again, they're important and they're needed. So I would consider numbers one, two, and three of this podcast, those relationships are the most important. Four and five are important, but they're not, I would consider one to three the most important. So you got number four is coaches, individual coaches, and there's lots around there. You can do some work, find yourself a good one, maybe some recommendations from friends. But the fifth relationship every leader needs to flourish is strategic consultants to come in from time to time into your ministry or your workplace. In other words, people outside of your system that keep you from basically becoming too inwardly focused, incestuous. Some organizations or ministries don't look outside themselves for any kind of counsel or input. That can be very dangerous. I call it often incestuous. But it has been invaluable for me over these years in both key transition moments over the 26 years of lead pastor at New Life Fellowship Church, as well as my 12 years here leading emotionally healthy discipleship as a parachurch, because they are able to come and bring some objectivity from the outside into a process of thinking long-term where you've been, where you are, and where you're going. Now, again, the key is initiative. I've had at least eight that I can remember, strategic consultants come in over the last 38 years. That's a lot. I've run a rhythm of at least twice a year, I will take my team away for either a 1 day or a 2 day strategic planning retreat. The first half of that retreat is going to be investing in their being with God, our being as a team. The second part of it will always be strategy about the future. Where are we? What's God inviting us to in the future? And I've always sought to have an external strategic consultant run that second day for me. And because it's just so helpful, I can sit and participate. Now, we've met beforehand, but I'm not watching the room and keeping things on track. That person is. So each strategic consultant, and again, it takes time to find the right one. They've all been trained in a particular way of doing strategic planning. I call it their shtick. And they're going to bring that shtick to the strategic planning process. Now, I'm okay with shticks, but you have to understand that a shtick, their way of doing a strategic planning process, is limited. In other words, they're not part of your culture. So they bring strengths and they bring weaknesses. And so it's really important that you don't make the mistake I made in my early years. I would bring in a strategic consultant to guide the process. And because they're really great at their thing and way better than I am, I would give away my power inappropriately. They're not in charge. I'm in charge. Okay, in my case, I was the lead pastor. I'm the leader of EHD, discipleship. And so, but a person comes in to consult, and because they're really good at that, managing the room and keeping things on track, I'm like, oh yeah, they know what's going on. But everybody's, no. I'm in charge and they work for me. And so I need them to amend to what I want done. And that process can be edited, their process, to fit our needs as a ministry. And so listen to strategic consultants, absolutely, but you're the leader. The consultant works for you. So let me just review again, there's five relationships that you need, I believe, to flourish in the long haul in ministry. One is you need a social universe outside of your work. Secondly, you need some mentors, 2, 3, 4 mentors that you can talk with. I've had a couple of my mentors I've had for 25 to 35 years. That's how long we've been in relationship. Third is you need perhaps a therapist or a spiritual director at certain times as well that you can access and go to when you hit blockages and you know you need some external help. A fourth category is you need some coaches at times, a coach who can help keep you on track, especially when you're juggling a lot of balls at once. And then finally, you need to be able to call on a strategic consultant from time to time to come in into your leadership and kind of bring an outside, larger, wider, longer perspective. So again, part of the way we want to help you address this relationship challenges, I want to invite you to the School of Emotionally Healthy Leadership, which is a 2-semester school, and consider joining our ecosystem here to get some mentoring in particular. And that may serve you in your wider constellation of relationships you need to flourish. Again, go check it out on our website at emotionallyhealthy.org/leadership school. That's emotionallyhealthy.org/leadership school. I believe many of you will find it very helpful, and you can pray and discern if God might be inviting you to be part of that. So So let me pray for you now, but I want to close with a great promise from God from Psalm 32, verses 8 to 11. God promises this: I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. So you may be saying, Pete, this is overwhelming. Where would I find all these relationships? I'm feeling very alone. You don't know where I live. I want you to hear the word of the Lord for you today. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which is our nature. We're stubborn, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle. Even if God delays the bringing of that person or persons to you for a season, he's got a sovereign plan in even that of preparing your soil. He's got some things for you to learn. But we can trust him. We can bank on him that it is true. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And so let me pray for you as we close this podcast. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord give you a soft heart that you may not be like the horse or the mule, stubborn, but may you be open and soft and a sheep willing to be led by him to new places, into new relationships, that you in turn might be able to lead others on your team for his name's sake. So be blessed, everybody. It's been great to be with you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.